Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of KCBX and the program hosts. Santa Maria firefighters are involved in ongoing negotiations for fair pay in line with the salaries that firefighters and other parts of Santa Barbara County receive. Join Lada Murti and her guests to discuss the many services Santa Maria firefighters provide and the need for greater compensation to provide for these services. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation today. Call in and be part of the discussion or email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. Now let's join Lata and her guests. Over to you, Lata.
Thank you, Donna. Santa Maria firefighters are seeking not just fair pay, but greater recognition for the many services they provide in the Santa Maria Valley. And here today to talk about Santa Maria firefighters' fight for fair pay and greater recognition are Matthew Chirkop, Santa Maria Firefighters Union President and Fire Captain, Matt Lewis, Santa Maria Firefighters 3rd Vice President and Fire Engineer, and Chris Robles, Santa Maria Firefighters Local 2020 Public Information Officer and Consultant. Welcome, Matthew, Matt, and Chris.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for being here. Thanks, Chris. So how long have each of you been a firefighter?
I'll start. So I've been a firefighter for now about 18 or so years. Worked in different aspects of the fire service over that time period as well. Hazmat, a part-time firefighter into full-time firefighter, and I've been with the city now for 13 years.
And you, Matt?
Matt Lewis here. I've been a firefighter for 24 years. 19 of those years I've been with Santa Maria City. Five years prior I was with Pismo Beach. So here on the Central Coast my entire career.
And Chris, you are not a firefighter. Can you tell us some more about your job?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I am not a firefighter, but what I do is make a career out of supporting locals to get their fair share from these cities, because oftentimes city management and elected officials are not favorable to city employees.
So, Chris, how long have you been working with Santa Maria firefighters?
Since April this year.
Since April of this year. Very good. And so, Matt, Matthew, why did each of you decide to become a firefighter?
Well, I personally decided to become a firefighter. I didn't decide until after I was out of high school, working at a local sporting goods store, and I met a firefighter that worked for Santa Maria. And so I began picking his brain, learning about the job, did a ride-along, and decided that was the career path I wanted to pursue with the challenges that it would give me.
Yeah, and I started, I became a firefighter in 2012. My education took me into the environmental sciences field at University of Massachusetts Amherst. And out of college, I started working as a hazardous materials specialist for a subcontractor for IBM for a while on the East Coast. And when I moved out in 2006, 2007, I got a job with Santa Barbara County Fire as a hazardous materials specialist. And I got to work in the emergency response side of hazardous materials responses, working along firefighters and other public safety professionals. And when I was working alongside those public safety professionals and firefighters, that's when I realized, the natural progression would be into firefighting. That was how I got into it in 2012, full time.
And Chris, could you talk some more about how you decided to work with Santa Maria firefighters?
Oh, absolutely. They've been known to be having problems and issues ongoingly with the city, where they have not been paid at the even average rate with other agencies. And they reached out to me. We discussed their situation. And sadly, I have to say, it's not an unusual situation. But what is unusual is the level of employee attitude by this council, most of the council, I should say, and the staff in Santa Maria.
So given this anti-employee attitude from the city, Matthew, Matt, what keeps each of you going still in this profession in firefighting?
Firefighting to me is, it's really all about the community. You know, while the title is firefighting, we do so much more than that. It's really just community service. If it's not a police issue, we show up, we make somebody's day better. We will never show up and say we can't help you. That's just not what firefighters do. We will do anything and everything possible to help somebody. You know, we help people in their greatest times of need, and they expect us to show up and they expect us to help. What keeps me doing this is really fighting for the right thing. You know, this is not about greed. It's not about anything like that. It's about fairness. And that's all we've been asking for from the beginning is fairness. We want to change the culture in the city from this history of union busting to a culture that embraces labor and embraces working together with labor to enhance services in the community. And that's truly what we are trying to do here. We want to selflessly serve the community.
Matt, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I do. So I never imagined that I'd be involved on this side of the table when I got involved in firefighting. But it is a necessity to make sure that our wages and benefits are protected. But what keeps me going is there's a whole positive side that you don't hear about. While we have this ongoing issue with the city, we are truly able to come to work and enjoy each other and serving the community. And doing our job on a day-to-day basis is very joyful to us.
So, Matthew, you were saying that firefighters do more than just fight fires. Can you talk about some of the other services you provide to the community?
Yeah, certainly. You know, yes, we fight fires. Every firefighter, almost across the state, they're all emergency medical technicians. So, aside from that, in Santa Maria, we also are urban search and rescue trained. So we have we'll go all over the state on different natural disasters and large scale emergencies. We also participate in the Mass Mutual Aid system statewide for the very dangerous wildfires that we see every summer, and we participate in we have a swift water rescue program as well in the city. There's all kinds of technical rescues that we do, high angle, low angle, confined space, and trench collapse. That's part of our urban search and rescue program. But there's so many other things that we do that isn't just emergencies. It's public education. It's interacting with the community. It's hanging smoke detectors, replacing batteries, giving kids stickers and showing them what the life of a firefighter is. Inviting them over to the station and really, you know, just making memories and relationships with those children and those families. It's truly an amazing job that's like no other. People call us for anything. Yes, we will try to rescue a cat out of a tree if you call us for it. And, you know, if you need help, say moving something heavy, if you're elderly or disabled or whatnot, we'll come over and we'll help you. Like I said, we will do anything and everything you ask us to.
Wow. So, Chris, you had mentioned other firefighting units in other places facing similar situations. So are these the typical services that you find other firefighters outside of Santa Maria or even outside of the Central Coast are also providing?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I would say Matt and Matt are even not even telling you the entire story of all the things that they do and all the services that they provide. They're in this to help the community. They never thought, no firefighter ever thinks that they would have to get into negotiations with cities and fight for fair wages. It's just unbelievable. And that's why I'm here to help. And this does happen in other cities, and firefighters are across the board are all people who put others before themselves.
And to tag on to that, you know, and like what Matt said earlier, becoming a firefighter, I never thought that I'd have to engage in politics or even union leadership. And that opens up a whole nother world. We have the ability with our state and international resources and unions to have evaluations done on the fire department. And we recently had one conducted that evaluated the level of fire and emergency medical services in the city. It's the fifth study that's been done in 24 years. And like all of the others, this study continues to recommend more staffing, more fire stations, more fire engines, and more resources. It's a long history in the city of understaffing, under equipment, under providing for the fire department, and therefore underserving the community. Our community deserves better.
Mm-hmm. And I think an important thing to highlight out of that, there was a report in 2000 that those levels of recommendation have not been met today. So we are greatly behind in what we need to have in the city to protect.
And when did this report come out?
There's been multiple. 2000 was the first one. And then there's been four since, up to just recently, a couple months ago, is the most recent study done.
So when you bring this up with members of the community, what is their usual response?
There's a lot of folks that just simply don't know. You know, that's a big part of our public education. And when we sit down with school-aged children or even families, and we'll ask them a simple question of how many firefighters do you think are on duty in the entire city of Santa Maria right now? And the answers are all over the place, as high as 100 firefighters a day. And we currently have 18 firefighters on duty covering a population of 109,000 every single day. Those 18 firefighters cover 6 response units. And if there is a larger emergency in the city, whether it's a structure fire or a house fire or something else, that consumes every firefighter until that emergency is mitigated. And then we rely on help from other agencies if available.
Chris, what do you think accounts for the lack of awareness?
I think generally the public make the 911 calls and just expect somebody to show up and don't think about what it takes, what needs to be in place, so that when you make that call, these services are there and helpful. And people, you know, it's understandable. People are going about their daily lives and have personal things to worry about. But that's the whole point, is that they expect their city council and their city to have these as turnkey services. And when they fail to do it, it becomes a crisis level. And that's what we've reached now in Santa Maria.
I'm Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests today are Chris Robles, Santa Maria Firefighters Local 2020 Public Information Officer and Consultant, Matthew Cheercop, Santa Maria Firefighters Union President and Fire Captain, and Matt Lewis, Santa Maria Firefighters Third Vice President and Fire Engineer. And we are talking about the many services Santa Maria firefighters provide and their negotiations for fair, better compensation for these services. You can call us at 805-781-3875 or email us at voices@kcbx.org with your questions. So you have these reports, you have all of this evidence that there needs to be more support of the services that Santa Maria firefighters provide, more compensation for these services. So why is the city fighting this?
It comes down to a matter of priorities, and that's exactly what they had told us at the bargaining table. The city decides a level of service that they need, and they did in 2010 for implementation in 2012. The voters overwhelmingly passed a supplemental sales tax called Measure U, and Measure U was supposed to maintain and enhance public safety. Again, in 2018 for implementation in 2020, they upped the quarter cent sales tax to a 1 cent sales tax, and that was overwhelmingly approved by the voters of Santa Maria, and that was passed by 74% of the voters. Now what we're seeing is, as the budget grows and time goes on, the level of service is not being maintained to provide the same level of service to the community. So while over that same time period we've added in additional staffing, we don't feel that the growth is commensurate with the needs of the community. And when we dive into the budgeting practices of the city, we find an alarming trend of under-providing for the fire department. For instance, over that 10-year period, our general fund contributions have only increased by $1.2 million, when at the same time, the police department general fund contributions increased $13 million. Now, I'm not downplaying or minimizing the police department. They're very much needed in the community, but all of public safety needs to be maintained and enhanced, and that includes the fire services.
So let me make sure my listeners and I understand. So there have been these measures passed to increase taxes.
Correct.
And was that specifically for the firefighters?
90% of those of that sales tax is for public safety.
But the city is not distributing it as needed?
What we're seeing is... Measure U has been used as a tool to free up general fund monies to be used elsewhere. So that while the funding is provided, the general fund funding doesn't keep up with paying for fire department services. It gets shuffled into other projects and other services that the voters did not vote to maintain and enhance.
Chris, how and why does this happen? How does the city prioritize this? Can you explain that?
This is also, I have to sadly say, very common. So if people are listening in Santa Maria or other cities, they need to check this out. So what happens is cities want to raise revenue, and there are only a few mechanisms available. One is a sales tax measure. They'll put the sales tax measure on the ballot, but due to the state law, they have to either put it on as a specific tax for a specific reason, which would take two-thirds majority, or they put it on as a general tax. And as a general tax, that passes with a majority. So most cities find that the easiest way to pass a tax. But then when they go to sell it to the community, they will tell everyone it's for public safety, police, fire, and then for other necessary services. But when it comes to actually allocating those funds, because it goes in the general fund of the city, they have no oversight on how they spend it. They can do whatever they want. And voters don't know that. And Santa Maria, they were promised by the city council, the current city council, the current incumbents, that this money would go to public safety, and instead they have been taking money out of Measure U and using it in other areas.
Matt, how did you become aware of this?
Well, my position as a executive board member, I have to be up to date on the budgets and where the money goes. So this all started with our negotiation process and us trying to figure out where the money's being spent and why our budget isn't keeping up with the growth of Measure U. Why is Measure U producing so much money, yet our budget isn't growing the same? The purpose for Measure U is to enhance and maintain fire services. And as Chris mentioned, it frees up general fund money. So while Measure U money is specifically earmarked for fire and police, it frees up the general fund money that isn't earmarked, and that's what's lacking in our budget.
So where, could you say some more about where this general fund money is going, as far as you know?
Well, if you look at the last 3 years, you can see that they have moved, and I say they, the city, has moved over $30 million in funding from the general fund into three other accounts that then go into a savings and are earmarked as one-time monies. So then when we bring up those monies, they say that those aren't available because they're one-time monies, but failed to tell the whole story of how they came out of the general fund to begin with.
So say more about how then you got involved in this process of negotiations. Were you already union members before you became aware or activated by all of this?
Yeah, and there's some interesting history to bring into this conversation. The firefighters of Santa Maria, they formed the union in 1970 at the end of the year. And this was after a brother, Alvin Newton, lost his life on the Bradley Hotel fire at the intersection of Main and Broadway. And that was the second line of duty death within a year in the Santa Maria Fire Department. And those members back then said, enough is enough. We're going to form a union and we're going to advocate for our hours, our wages, and our safe working conditions. So the union has been in place since 1970. I've been on the executive board of the union for about 11 of the 13 years that I've been with the city. And we've consistently seen this need for the fire department. And it has caused us and our membership to really be focused on city government and how budgets and funding is allocated and where that money goes, so that we can be well informed, and then when we bargain, we can bring those issues up and identify solutions to the problems. And that's the our job is a solutions-based job. That's what we do. So when we inform ourselves with the information and we come to the table, we can present that factually and say, hey, this is how you fix the problem. Historically, when we go to the bargaining table, we are well behind the average pay of market. And the market is of similar agencies within the tri-counties, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara County, and Ventura County. Unfortunately, the history is we're just met with roadblock after roadblock. And they say disheartening things at the table, such as it's about priorities. It's not about an inability to pay. So that's where we've had enough. We are now speaking about all the issues. There was a pay issue, understand, but we've moved on and really highlighted the inefficiencies and the lack of service, the service gaps, the coverage issues in the city, and that's where we are. And all of this is to advocate for new leadership, because the community deserves better. The community deserves foresight and planning, and the fire service needs to grow with the community, not after the community has grown. The services need to be in place in advance.
And how many of you are involved in this bargaining? Matt?
Directly on our negotiations team, there is five of us that are authorized to negotiate for the local. But we take all the information back to our members and we collaborate and decide as a group if we want to accept the offer or counter offer, how that works. Yeah.
And how did you connect with Chris?
Yes.
Or did Chris connect with you?
So after that process, just to share a little history of that process, we met twice with the city in November, December, and after two meetings, they slid a proposal across the table and said, this is our last, best, and final. And that's significant because that tells us they don't want to talk to us anymore. And basically, take it or leave it. We sat on that for a few months. Their chief negotiator left the country for the entire month of January. And we came back in February. There was still no movement. And then, I believe at the end of February, March, They met with us a few more times. They moved slightly in year two. They added an additional 1% in year two of the contract. And they again said, this is the last, best, and final. If you don't accept it, we're at impasse. So we've been at impasse since April 8th, and the city's refused to speak with us or try to rectify these challenges since then.
And you started November, December of last year, 2023.
That's correct.
So when you say you're meeting with them, are these city council meetings? Are they open to the public, or how are you meeting with them?
These were the negotiations, the official negotiation meetings. But I want to talk about the lack of friendly and collaborative work environment that we referred to. These have been ongoing talks that we as an e-board have been talking with city council and city management for a year before this even began, trying to get ahead of the issue because we saw this coming. And it was met with little to no action. We waited until November, a month before our contract expired, to begin contract negotiations with the city when asking them to do it months prior. So it's been roadblock after roadblock just to even get to negotiations and educate the people who should be making the decisions. And we're not even meeting with city officials. We're meeting with a hired out of the area lawyer that has no stake, no knowledge of the community, no knowledge of the city workings, you know, so.
And all of the, and as I was mentioning, all the information that we arm ourselves with, the fact-based, you know, the data evaluations, the service level issues or the service delivery issues, those fall on deaf ears when you meet with someone from out of the area. And it was that roadblock that really led us to say, hey, we know something isn't right here, but we need to change. And that's where that's when we found Chris. He was referred to us, interviewed Chris, and you know, looked at his work history and decided, hey, we need professional help to get our message out. And with Chris on board, we've been he's been pivotal in fostering community relationships, getting our message out there, and really just involving the community more on the ongoing services the fire department provides and just in our issues specifically. We really want the community to know, and as a result of all this, the community really supports us, and we're super thankful for that. We're here for them, and they've shown that they're here for us. And, you know, that is quite the feeling to be out there and know that there are people every day thanking us and saying hi and just really thankful that we're there. That means a lot. And that's truly the reason that you asked earlier, you know, why are we still doing this? It's the community, it's the support. It's truly amazing.
Wonderful. So we're going to take a short break in just a moment. And then I'd like to hear more from you, Chris. So stay on the line. But right now I'm going to throw it back to the studio and Donna.
Thank you.
Central Coast Voices continues with host Lotta Murty.
Welcome back. I am talking to guests Matt Lewis, Santa Maria Firefighters' third vice president and fire engineer, Chris Robles, Santa Maria Firefighters' local 2020 public information officer and consultant, and Matthew Cheercop, Santa Maria Firefighters' union president and fire captain. And we have been talking about Santa Maria Firefighters' ongoing negotiations with the City of Santa Maria for greater support and compensation for their services. Listeners, what questions do you have about firefighters and fair compensation and pay and funding of the services they provide? Call and tell us at 805-781-3875, or you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. So, Chris, before the break, Matthew was telling us about your work connecting with the community, getting that community support. Can you talk some more about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Once again, you know, firefighters, they're in the city for a long period of time. You should definitely ask them about how many hours they actually put in. And they live in the city when they are on duty. And their interaction is by calls. But they're oftentimes the interaction after an emergency or whatnot that doesn't really occur. And so I've been helping them connect with community groups and other groups and organizations. But they've had a fantastic reputation in the community already. So building off of that has been fantastic and made things very easy. But once, as you pointed out, once again, people are not completely aware of how things work in a fire department. You know, they see it on TV, and that's not an actual depiction of reality. So people learning about how they respond, the amount of time it takes to respond, how many firefighters need to be on an engine, how many firefighters need to be deployed at any time to cover the city adequately. These are things that people don't think about, expect it to be taken care of, and since it's not taken care of in Santa Maria, we've had to go on a education program to give people the facts.
And we have a caller, Heather. Heather's calling. Heather, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling about an additional burden on the Santa Maria Fire Department related to the proposed development that has been approved by the Board of Supervisors illegally to allow a development called the Dana Reserve on the Nipomo Mesa, which is unincorporated, I understand, but I'm sure in a major conflagration or problem, Santa Maria Fire Department would be in their front yard, if not backyard. There are going to be 2,000 units. They're, you know, it's exceeding the population of Nipomo by lots and lots and lots, and there is absolutely no plan for a fire or a police department other than a so-called promised piece of land where you guys get to build your own station with no funds from this developer. Can you comment on what you know about the Dana Reserve lack of fire and police security if built out?
Yes, thank you, Heather. This is Matthew. I'm not intimately aware of that specific project, but your concerns about development are felt everywhere. You know, that is unincorporated San Luis Obispo County, which we will respond into to help CAL FIRE and San Luis Obispo County. On top of developments like that on our borders that also draw us out of the city. We have what the city likes to refer to as infill projects, and they're also considering some annexation projects on the southeast side of the city. These are things that they add housing, they add residents, they add challenges, and they deserve services. That is, you know, with our housing crisis in the state right now, we are the biggest city in Santa Barbara County. We're the fastest growing city in Santa Barbara County, and the stats on accessory dwelling units in the city and elsewhere are through the roof right now. All of these housing projects happening, you know, anywhere around here, especially in Santa Maria and on the outskirts, is really having an impact on emergency services. And being so thin as we are in the city, getting pulled outside the city is really a challenge and oftentimes a disservice to our community.
Mm-hmm. Matt, do you have something to add?
Just to Heather's concern, all of the Napomo, Mesa and Napomo proper area, they only have two response units to cover all that population. So anything being built there, adding to need for calls of service directly do affect the Santa Maria Fire Department, because we are the next response unit set that respond to medical aids, to fires, to traffic accidents, any emergency in their area that it's not being covered by the other two engines. Yeah, it's a concern, Heather.
Thank you.
May I add something?
I know it is. It must be for you guys, because you're obviously such dedicated public servants. And to put you in such a position of responsibility without any backup, including the way the city of Santa Maria is treating you, is really unacceptable in this day and age. We know much better. We can do better. There are monies for these services, and the city of Santa Maria needs to get off their high horses or whatever and look for those monies to supplement whatever they don't get in their tax base.
Thank you, Heather. Chris, you had something to say in response as well?
Yes. The caller brings up a really important issue, and although this project she's referring to may not be specifically in the city of Santa Maria, Santa Maria does have projects similar to this. And what happens is, when a developer comes into a city, they are supposed to pay offset fees to support the additional services that their project, that they're going to make millions on, is impacting on the residents or the city of Santa Maria. And unfortunately, there has been an ongoing, and Matt can tell you how long it's been going on, but there's been an ongoing policy that the council members, the mayor and a couple of the council members, will forgive any fees for these developers. And now the burden falls on taxpayers. So is it any wonder that they have a city deficit?
Thank you.
I say we follow the money. I think I smell corruption here and money changing hands.
Thank you.
Developers and city officials.
Thank you for your call, Heather. So there's an awareness here. Our caller, Heather, showed us that. So what else can our listeners and the public do to support your cause and support not just firefighters, but public services?
Yeah, I'll take that one. The city needs stable leadership. We unfortunately, we're in a major crisis. We have a skeleton crew at City Hall. We haven't had a city manager in about a year. A new city manager starts in December. We have, you know, the fire department itself has had 7 fire chiefs in 12 years. We just need a stability at City Hall. We need people who know how to fix problems, balance budgets, and not try to tax their way out of problems. You know, we are advocating for a change on city council. I won't get into that, but you can go to our website, santamariafirefighters.com, and you can see that. But but we need stability at City Hall, because City Hall is the one who balances, you know, who presents the numbers to City Council for approval, who proposes, you know, service level increases and reductions, and truly, you know, keeps the city running. The change in leadership all the time just constantly resets us. And that also trickles down to new firefighters. Over 12 years, we've hired 80 firefighters, and we've lost 40% of them. We're a fire department, and we represent 70 members total. And think about that. Over 12 years, we've hired 80 firefighters. We lose a lot of firefighters to other agencies competing for pay and better working conditions. You know, we struggle to attract new firefighters. And in doing so, there are a lot of firefighters that are unsuccessful in our hiring process. So what that creates, this turnover, and it creates a real problem with getting folks to move up through the ranks and be the future leaders of the organization. When we keep replacing firefighters at the lower rank, it sets us back year after year after year. And that is a morale killer, and it just has a daily impact on the crews that are there to left to retrain, to hire and train and hire and train new firefighters and get them ready to serve the community.
So if community members, including our listeners, want to help stem this turnover, this high turnover and change in leadership, they can go to your website.
Correct, SantaMariaFirefighters.com.
And see possibly how and whom to vote for in the upcoming elections.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Chris, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, accountability. I think even with the new leaders that we hope will come in and start fixing the problems, accountability is the issue. People need to hold their elected officials accountable. And that is a responsibility as a member of society. And we would encourage people to either attend in person, which is a difficult thing because the meetings start early during the day, or at least watch and keep tabs on what's going on in the meetings. And I can say, as someone who has attended probably thousands and thousands of meetings across California, they can be a little boring, but they are important because major amounts of tax money are being spent, and decisions about your public safety, specifically fire and emergency medical services, are being made or failed to be made.
Chris brings up a really good
point.
Chris brings up a really good point. Those meetings, they can be boring. I like to brag that I've been to every city council meeting since early December. And if there was more participation and the community got to see exactly where the money moved to and the decisions that were being made, those city council meetings are designed for community involvement and input. If there's no involvement and input, then City Hall and City Council just gets to make those decisions without accountability.
This is Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices, and you will find this show and many others to choose from. And there's still time for your emailed questions about Santa Maria firefighters' negotiations for fair pay. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org and we will get them on the air. My guests for today's show are Matthew Chirkop, Santa Maria Firefighters Union President and Fire Captain, Matt Lewis, Santa Maria Firefighters Third Vice President and Fire Engineer, and Chris Robles, Santa Maria Firefighters Local 2020 Public Information Officer and Consultant. And we are talking about Santa Maria Firefighters negotiations for more funding and more fair compensation from the City of Santa Maria, and what it would mean for firefighters in the city to receive more pay for their services. Actually, we're going to talk some more about that in just a moment, but we did get another question in, a written question about whether there's a petition or any petition that our listeners or supporters can sign on your behalf.
You can go to our website, santamariafirefighters.com, and there's an option to sign up for a newsletter and future communications. That way you can stay informed on our publications and our issues.
But is there a petition, Matt?
No, there is no current official petition.
Okay, so visit... Yeah,
the petition is November 5th, the election.
That's a good point. Best petition. Yeah. All right, very good. So, Matt, I'd like to hear a little more from you, if you're able to answer this question. Can you give us a number? Is there an exact number that you and the Firefighters Union and Santa Maria Firefighters are looking for as far as funding and compensation?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak specifically to compensation since I'm the negotiations team. We're not in this to get rich. We know we need to work hand in hand with the city to have a budget that's operable. We ask for average pay. We think that's more than acceptable for the biggest city in the Central Coast, running the most amount of calls, having the highest wear and tear mentally and physically on our members. We do not believe average pay is too much to ask for. When we specifically had the voters vote overwhelmingly 2 times to support Measure U and say exactly where they want their funding to go. And this isn't about a money grab for us. This is a symptom of all the problems we are facing today. Having average pay would keep our retention levels higher. I don't think you can truly understand how much money is lost in losing just one employee. We've lost 40% of our employees in the last 12 years because of retention issues, and that is specifically because of our lower pay.
Can you tell us the average pay? Is that public information?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. To get to the average of market, it would take us 18% today. When we started negotiations, it was 14%. And the reason that cost keeps going up, or that number keeps going up, is because all the agencies that we survey with have been receiving cost of living adjustments. We have asked them for a plan to get us there. So not necessarily overnight. If it was 2 years, 3 years, we gave them 2-year and 3-year plans. We just simply want to have a conversation about how we fix the inequities. Our police department counterparts are paid 21.9% more on an annual basis than our fire captain. So fire captain and a police sergeant, they're equal positions in public safety frontline supervisors. On an hourly wage, there's a lot of things that are misunderstood. And firefighters work 56-hour work weeks, 2,912 hours a year. A 40-hour week job works 2,080 hours a year. We work about 1,000 hours more a year for that annual compensation. That is 21.9% less than our police department counterparts. Mm-hmm. I'll come out and say it. We get beat up because there's overtime with wildfires and things, and somehow there are folks out there that justify we should get paid less because we get to work more. Think about that. Getting paid less to work more is unacceptable. That is not our fault, and that's not a reason to say you don't deserve average pay because you get to spend an extra 2 months away from your house or away from your family serving the community. Mm-hmm. That is just not right. That is misunderstood. And quite frankly, I'd like to share this. The mayor recently published some inaccurate numbers criticizing us for just that. And that's the mayor of the largest city in Santa Barbara County criticizing her own firefighters because we get to work more for less pay? Think about that in terms of leadership.
So to give your listeners an actual number, entry-level firefighter starts off at $75,000 a year. Top step captain tops out at $114,000 a year. That's our annual salary for working 2,900 hours a year, being away 4 months from our family, friends, missing all the sports, all that stuff, which we sign up for. But I don't think $114,000 for the top step fire captain is an absurd amount of money to make. I think it's on the lower end, and it is on the lower end of our salary survey and with other professions here on the Central Coast. So that's the actual number of what we make. So when you see it represented as $200,000, $300,000, that's the city lumping all our benefits or adding on 1,000 to 1,500 extra hours a year that one person may have worked. You know, so if they're working an extra 1,000 hours a year, they're gone from their home completely. Gone 6 months, half the year, they're completely gone. That's unrealistic. So
I would like to add here too. We have a retired fire chief who coincidentally is supportive of current leadership, and he is the same retired fire chief that told us we shouldn't be asking for average pay. We should be asking for number one. We're very humble in the sense that we don't ask for number one. We are asking for fairness. And it's really disheartening that our retired fire chief, who should be supporting us, is not supporting us. And it's really unfortunate. And many of my members have reached out to him to express our disdain, you know, for that. And unfortunately, he never sat down with us to ask our side of the story. That hurts.
Chris, Matthew is telling me during the break that firefighters or public safety officers cannot strike in response to what's occurred. Can you talk some more about that?
Yeah, that's correct. They provide such an essential service, and it's a life-saving service, that they're not allowed to go on strike. So they're very limited on how they can express their frustration with dealing with a city that refuses to deal with them on a fair level. So that, quite honestly, that's why I do what I do. I've worked with firefighters, but I also have worked with police officers. If you can believe it, it's happened to them as well. And it's leadership, or the lack thereof. And Santa Maria's had a entrenched, long time, old school, I'll call it, leadership mindset, and it is not representative of the community. Because if you go door to door and you talk to people, they are predominantly union members, working families, and this council is not representative of that at all. But they get reelected because the money people, the developers, keep them entrenched and in power because they get what they want. And so, once again, I'm going to emphasize, people want change. People need the change. They're going to have to make the change by going to the ballot box on Tuesday, November 5th.
In our last few minutes, could each of you speak briefly about what changes? What changes as far as Santa Maria Firefighters services if you don't receive fair compensation and more funding as you're asking for? And what would change if you did get the fair compensation and greater funding?
Well, if we don't, I mean, nothing changes. We're still going to show up to work. We're still going to provide the best service we possibly can with the tools and equipment that are given to us. You know, we don't do this job for the money. We do it because we truly love coming and serving the community and making it a safer place. as to what changes if we do get it. I know morale will boost. There's a lot of my members that are going through personal struggles financially, which causes extra stressors. So having some extra money in their pocket to be able to make rent, to be able to live comfortably and not worry about where that next paycheck is coming from, that extra cushion goes a long way. And then just services, serving the community better, getting the actual services we need to provide the level that we have for what's coming and what's already been developed.
We need to new leadership that will prioritize, again, public safety and the fire service. We need to enhance our services. This report that was just put together recommended an additional fire station with an additional 10 firefighters on duty every day. We recognize that that's a big ask, but it's a long-term goal. We need to get there. We need to provide the service fairly to the entire community. When we plan for fire stations, we need to build them in advantageous positions, locations, and not at and locations that are just free, which has historically happened. We really need to respond to the community's needs. That's what the job is all about. And we won't constantly lose firefighters, and we need stable leadership, and all of that translates into a higher service to the community.
I want to thank today's guests, Chris Robles, Santa Maria Firefighters Local 2020 Public Information Officer and Consultant, Matthew Chirkop, Santa Maria Firefighters Union President and Fire Captain, and Matt Lewis, Santa Maria Firefighters Third Vice President and Fire Engineer. And we have been talking about their work as Santa Maria firefighters, the many services they provide as firefighters, and their negotiations with the City of Santa Maria for greater funding and fair compensation for these services. Next week, join Dr. Mario Espinosa Kulik as he talks to members of the local Santa Ynez Chumash community for National Native American Heritage Month. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation on Thursday, November 7th, between 1 and 2 p.m. Central Coast Voices has been sponsored in collaboration with KCBX. I'm Lotta Murty. Thank you for joining us today.